Now from the KSFR newsroom, at noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Thursday, July 11th. Santa Fe City Council has moved to create a new small park downtown adjacent to the Water Street parking lot. The 240-square-foot area will be known as Cerletti Park, named for the late Tourism Secretary Mike Cerletti, who had also managed the St. Francis Hotel just across the street. In other action, the governing body denied a density rezoning request made by the Civic Housing Authority regarding some vacant land off Siringo Road. The authority was seeking to create new rental units, some of which would have been part of the city's affordable housing program. As feared, heavy summer rains have caused flooding in the Pecos Canyon in the aftermath of last month's Tres Lagunas fire. That more than 10,000-acre blaze left behind denuded hillsides and fire debris. An afternoon storm caused the Brush Ranch to be swamped with 4 or more feet of mud after dropping an inch of rain within 45 minutes. The entire Pecos wilderness remains closed to the public until further notice. 15 community health centers across New Mexico will soon receive over $2.2 million in grants to help enroll uninsured individuals into new affordable health coverage options that go into effect on October 1st. The awards are being issued by the Health Resources and Services Administration within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and will allow the health centers to hire an additional 47 workers. Here in Santa Fe, the La Familia Medical Center will receive $142,000. Presbyterian Medical Services will get $263,000. Getting underway tomorrow at Museum Hill in Santa Fe is the 10th annual International Folk Art Market. It's the largest event of its kind in the world, featuring handmade works by 190 artists from 60 countries. Over the past 9 years, participants have generated more than $16 million in sales, 90% of which has gone home with the artists. Many come from developing countries where the average income is less than $3 a day. The market runs through Sunday. Tonight's Planning Commission hearing over a proposal to commercially develop the empty Manderfield Elementary School in the historic district has been canceled in the wake of complaints from the community. Local residents say the rezoning plan that was to have been presented tonight could lead to more and different uses for the property than the plan the developer had presented at neighborhood meetings. The old school is on Canyon Road next to Cristo Rey Church. In Albuquerque today, there's an unofficial opening of the new $30 million Downs Racetrack and Casino, featuring the site's restaurant, casino, and bar. The grand opening is set for next month when the racetrack will start running. Privately funded, the gaming facility is the only one within Albuquerque city limits. Former Santa Fean and political activist Adam Kokesh is facing arraignment in a Virginia court after being arrested Wednesday for possession of hallucinogenic mushrooms while also possessing a firearm. The arrest came after Kokesh had posted a YouTube video on July 4th, allegedly showing him loading a shotgun while at Washington, D.C.'s Freedom Plaza, a violation of law there, and saying the government will not be allowed to destroy humanity. The Iraq War veteran made an unsuccessful 2010 bid to be the Republican nominee for New Mexico's 3rd congressional district. AAA New Mexico says in-state average gas prices have eked up by some 4 cents over last week, now at $3.42. That's 10 cents more than last year at this time. The current national average for a gallon of regular unleaded is $3.52. With the arrival of wetting precipitation across the state in recent days, the New Mexico State Forestry Division has announced plans to lift its smoking, firework, campfire, and open fire restrictions for all New Mexico counties imposed back in May. The rescission will take effect tomorrow at 8 a.m. The restrictions were imposed on all non-municipal, non-federal, and non-tribal lands across the state due to extreme fire danger. The Forestry Division advises that restrictions could be reimposed if fire danger weather reestablishes itself. And weather for Santa Fe, partly sunny today, a high in the upper 80s and a 40% chance for afternoon and evening thunderstorms. Where storms do occur, there may be periods of heavy rain as they will be slow moving. Precipitation probabilities decrease to just 20% tomorrow. And the current Santa Fe temperature, now 75 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by P&M, currently providing a recycling program for old refrigerators. PNM will pick up old refrigerators for free and then safely remove the coolant so it doesn't pollute the environment. They'll recycle as much of the refrigerator as possible. If you have a question for PNM, you can talk to them on Twitter or Facebook, or visit PNM online at pnm.com.
And at noon on KSFR, now segues to today's feature stories. Our nearby Los Alamos National Laboratory is out with a new joint report with UNM that says many southwestern forests, most of them coniferous, in the United States will disappear or be heavily altered by 2050 as air temperatures rise in combination with drought. The study is centered on drought experiments in woodlands at both Los Alamos and a national wildlife refuge in central New Mexico that researchers say are more accurate than experiments conducted in greenhouses. Joining us now while out in the field is Nate McDowell, staff scientist at LANL. Nate, tell us more about this disturbing projection of our forests drastically dwindling over the next 35 years or so.
Well, that statement, that hypothesis is based on two independent studies from our group, and both studies, one was based on historical evidence from the Southwest for the last 1,000 years from tree rings. The other one was based on a large-scale process model. It's basically the state-of-the-art knowledge today of how we can simulate vegetation survival and mortality and growth. Those two studies both came to the same conclusion that by 2050 there shouldn't be many coniferous or like pine forests left in the Southwest, which is Arizona, New Mexico, and the lower half of Utah and Colorado for these analyses.
And is that a matter of temperatures rising too high to sustain coniferous growth?
The largest culprit is temperature. That's exactly right. Because precipitation has gone up and down. It's had decadal and multi-decadal variability for as long as there's been precipitation, as long as there's been rain and snow. And it'll always be that way. And it may go down a little bit. In some places it may even go up a little bit. But there will still be droughts defined as, periods of low precipitation. What's different now is that temperature is rising extremely fast by the Earth standards, by vegetation standards. It's way faster than anything they've experienced in their lifetimes. So, and that dries the plants out more because warm air can hold more water. So the evaporative demand, the power of the air to suck water out of the earth, goes up as temperature goes up. It goes up quite steeply with temperature, in fact. So given that, we're almost guaranteed to have continued temperature rise of multiple degrees in the next 90 years. It seems unlikely that the plants can adapt rapidly enough to deal with that temperature increase. But there could be positive surprises as well. We should always mention that.
But if the research holds true, would we here in the Santa Fe and Los Alamos areas soon begin to notice a dieback of forests beginning at lower elevations?
Well, that's exactly what we did see in the early 2000s through 2010. And, in 2002, we saw pinyon dying all over northern New Mexico, particularly in regions of shallower soils, which is why we see a lot of dead pinyon in Los Alamos and slightly higher survival rates in the Santa Fe area. But nonetheless, that's the progression. We've already started seeing it. It climbs uphill. And now we're in basically the third year of a prolonged drought now here in 2013. We're way below normal rainfall. The plants have been severely stressed for almost a year straight because we monitor that up here in Los Alamos. So, this year we could see, we're already seeing lots of ponderosa pines dying up here. I think people in Santa Fe can expect that too. Now, on the other hand, rainfall, if it rains hard enough, some places might do okay. So it's hard to predict exactly what the dynamics will be.
And as the die-off occurs, will we see other types of trees replacing our pines?
Well, that's a great question. We don't have a solid answer, but what we've been seeing across the landscapes, both here in the Southwest but around the world as well, is that when you have this mortality of the dominant forest tree species, It's the stuff that was underneath that comes in immediately. So what we see here in New Mexico is oaks and aspens, right? But so we could have a big conversion of the landscape to these hardwood species, these deciduous species. There's also the problem that plants migrate far slower than they die, right? So for pines to re-come into a certain area will take many, many, many more decades, right? So there could be a messy time period where there's a big gap. It's what Craig Allen at Bandelier USGS calls weed world, you know, might be the potential future we're looking at.
It sounds as though there are ramifications for our hillsides, too, as this process takes over. What, then, is going to bind soils to our hillsides?
Well, that's a big problem. At Bandelier, they've observed after the massive pinyon mortality in 2002 that a lot of surface erosion has occurred and has damaged the archaeological sites. It's a huge problem. There isn't something there to protect the soil. Now, grasses and forbs and weeds may come in, and they will help, right? There's management practices that can be considered to help reduce erosion as well. But yeah, the net effect is a negative one in terms of water quality and sediment transport.
And as far as the type of work you've already done contributing to this study, is this going to be an ongoing effort?
Oh yeah, this kind of, we have multiple projects, but they're all really aiming at the same goal, which is to understand the fundamental science of why plants die during drought. We all know a drought comes, beetles show up, trees die, but nobody in the world can predict it with almost any accuracy at all, right? And so if we can't predict it, we can't do things that are valuable for land managers or policymakers or for the citizens. And furthermore, if we can't predict it, that means we just don't understand it. So I'll probably be doing this the rest of my career because the problem's not going to go away, and it's a really hard problem, and it's a really fascinating problem.
And that point we referenced just a moment ago of new species taking much longer to establish and replace those trees dying off at a rapid pace, does that possibly point to human intervention of planting efforts with varieties that can tolerate the new climate?
Yeah, that would be a great option. You know, if the national agenda becomes focused on mitigation and adaptation to these problems in our forests, there's a few options like that. One is planting higher up, so taking plants from lower elevation and, you know, thinking ahead and putting them at higher elevation so they might survive for a longer time period, just to slow the rate of this problem. Sustainable thinning and, you know, prescribed burning are also very wise choices in some parts of the world, you know, the western U.S.
And I would suppose that forest die-off, itself a product of climate change and warming temperatures, will only exacerbate that whole process, yes? Like the old game of pickup sticks, it's hard to move one item without disturbing others.
Exactly, and that's why the Department of Energy and Los Alamos National Lab is really pursuing this. That's one of our mission statements, is to understand the consequences of the human global energy portfolio on the ecosystems that we need, that provide resources for us. And so the big issue with forest mortality is that if a lot of forests die, those leaves are no longer green. They're no longer taking up CO2 out of the atmosphere. But there is a bunch of dead organic matter, dead trees, dead wood, that's decomposing and putting CO2 into the atmosphere. So this is what people call a tipping point or a threshold or a positive feedback. It's like a thermostat gone bad. The earth warms a little bit, more trees die, so then the earth warms even faster, more trees die. And then you mentioned tipping sticks, pickup sticks. That's a great analogy, because then what does that do to ice sheets, the Arctic ice sheets, et cetera, right? There's all these interconnected features that are going to better feed back on each other. The scary thing is they all point the same direction, faster and faster warming.
Nate McDowell, staff scientist with the Los Alamos National Laboratory, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
Programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by Medlin Mechanical, a full-service plumbing company specializing in green energy solutions for homes and business in the Santa Fe area for over 5 years. Medlin Mechanical's geothermal and solar systems are designed to cut energy costs and reduce carbon footprint. And tax credits for new systems are available through 2016. To learn more, visit medlinmechanical.com or call 577-8087. That's 577-8087.
20 minutes past the hour here at KSFR as At Noon continues. Cutting New Mexico's number of high school dropouts in half would save $46 million in annual Medicaid spending. That's according to a new report from the Alliance for Excellent Education. That advocacy organization encourages the development of federal and national policies that support education reform. Their report was drafted with assistance by insurance giant State Farm. Joining us now is Bill DeBon, Policy and Advocate Associate with the Alliance for Excellent Education. Bill, just to get us started, describe your organization for us.
Sure. We are a nonprofit organization in Washington, D.C. We focus on secondary school policy and advocacy for school improvement that gets all students ready for college and career.
And give us an overview of the estimated cost saving to New Mexico's Medicaid program by improving our state's graduation rate.
Sure. So what we looked at were differential uptake rates of Medicaid, basically how often people use Medicaid, whether they're a high school dropout or a high school graduate. And we found that high school graduates are about half as likely to be on Medicaid or to take up Medicaid. And so we looked at all of the non-completers, the high school non-completers in the state of New Mexico, and looked at what the state spent on Medicaid in 2012. And, you know, if you had cut that number of non-completers in half, you would have saved $46 million in state Medicaid funding.
And the reason for that, you put forth, is that a better educated public makes better choices regarding health?
So, I mean, more education, you know, it influences your lifestyle choices. You know, for example, you know, the more educated you are, the less likely you are to smoke or to, you know, have diseases like heart disease or obesity, alcoholism. More education also makes you, you know, better able to follow doctor's instructions or more able to, you know, to seek out and understand the medical advice that you're given. And a lot of these savings come from the fact that, you know, if you're a high school graduate or have more education, you're more likely to be on, you know, like a private employer's health insurance plan, for example, and you are less likely to have to rely on Medicaid for your personal health care.
And your report breaks down the total Medicaid savings into categories of different health-impacting activities. Would you take us through some of those?
We broke out specific Medicaid savings for heart disease, obesity, alcoholism, and smoking. And, you know, for heart disease, if you had cut the number of non-completers in half, you would have saved $5.8 million heart disease alone in 2012. For obesity and for smoking, that number is $12 million. Certainly these are funds that, you know, a lot of legislators probably would be happy to have in the coffers to devote to other programs. We also took a look at kind of societal savings, you know, beyond just Medicaid. And societal savings, you know, we include the impact of a disease on a person's productivity at work, the monetary value of their lost leisure time. It's an estimate also of the value of the pain and suffering caused by the diseases that they have. And so these numbers are even larger. If you take a look at, you know, obesity in 2012, eliminating 50% of the high school dropouts in the state, or, you know, moving them up to being high school graduates, would have saved $91 million for these societal savings. You see a similar number for heart disease, and you see also very large numbers for alcoholism and smoking. So, improving the number of high school graduates in the state, you know, it really, you know, provides these cost savings, but also improves quality of life.
High school graduation rates have long been a topic of discussion here in New Mexico. Does the Alliance for Excellent Education also put forth ideas for improving our matriculation rates?
Sure. So we look at a number of different, you know, learning strategies and policies, you know, that we you know, suspect and see in the field, you know, that do lead to better outcomes in terms of high school graduates. And a lot of these revolve around engaging students in their education, making sure that students are getting the knowledge and skills that they need to be successful later in life, whether that's college or, you know, college first or later a career, certainly. Engaging students in what their interests are, you know, connecting them maybe with businesses in the local community that are performing work that they're really interested in, bringing, you know, digital technology into the classroom and integrating that with really high-quality teaching can really make students really passionate about their learning and make them more likely to get to graduation day.
And any final thoughts on the issue you'd like to leave us with?
Certainly the benefits here, you know, to Medicaid and to society from improved health are evident in our report, but there are also a lot of other gains to be made from increasing the number of graduates that the state has. High school graduates and those who go on for even more education, they have higher incomes. There are increased auto sales and home sales, increases the gross state product. It increases state and local tax revenue. So there's a huge economic ripple effect to improving the graduation rate in a state beyond just the medical savings that we consider here.
Very good. Bill DeBaum with the Alliance for Excellent Education. Many thanks for joining us here at noon. We'll be back in just a moment.
Ebullient mezzo-soprano Susan Graham performs a title role of Jacques Offenbach's riotously funny The Grand Duchess of Gerolstein this summer at the Santa Fe Opera. All's fair in love and war games at the Gerolstein Military Academy, with its dashing uniformed cadets and apple-cheeked local sweethearts cheering them on, with the Academy's patroness, the Grand Duchess herself, in sexy pursuit. Far from being a lady of a certain age, this Grand Duchess is an amorous aristocrat with an eye for Fritz, her favorite young cadet, sung by the dynamic American tenor Paul Appleby. Soprano Anya Matanovic completes the love triangle. Emmanuel Viom conducts. The Santa Fe Opera's Grand Duchess of Gerolstein promises lots of laughter and fun. Learn more about this production and the entire upcoming season by visiting santafeopera.com or by calling 800-280-4654. That's 800-280-4654. This message is sponsored by the Santa Fe Opera, a tax-exempt organization.
And taking a brief look at financial news here at midday, global personal computer sales have fallen for the fifth quarter in a row, making it the longest duration of decline in history. Worldwide PC shipments totaled 76 million units in the second quarter. That's a 10.9% drop from a year earlier, according to research firm Gartner. PC sales have been hurt in recent years by the growing popularity of tablets. Gartner said the introduction of low-cost tablets had further hurt PC sales, mostly in emerging economies. Separate data released by research firm IDC also showed an 11.4% decline in global PC shipments during the period from a year earlier. And taking a look at Wall Street at midday, all the major indices in positive territory up 1% or more. The Dow is up 149 points at 15,441, the NASDAQ up 51 at 3,572, and the S&P 500 up 19 points. It stands at 1,672. 28 minutes past the hour here at KSFR. Here at the bottom of the hour, it is our regular custom to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I'm thinking of opening a restaurant. This is not a casual decision. It's been leavening for quite some time. Well aware of the pitfalls involved in running a successful restaurant, I am willing to take on the challenge. Besides, if I can't make a go of it, I'll just call the Food Channel's Restaurant Impossible and they'll come and rescue the restaurant. And in the process, I'll become a reality star, date and then marry a Kardashian, who will immediately become pregnant and become even more intolerable, like way past the Kardashian normal intolerable. All we'll do is fight as she complains about her bad skin, losing her figure, and acquiring stretch marks, until during her 6 months she divorces me for irreconcilable differences, and 3 months later I'm standing in line at a grocery store checkout lane and see the cover of National Enquirer with my ex-wife, the Kardashian, and my baby, and the headline, "Deserted by her curmudgeon." On second thought, I'll skip the restaurant. Guess I'm eating my words. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
We'll be back tomorrow with more news of and for New Mexico for you. And as always, we hope you join us.